come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
I had the suspicion that God had something else planned first before I taught. I am going to teach. I am going to teach on the last half. I'm not putting this off. But Peggy came up to me, and she said that could I just share this? And I know that it's the Holy Spirit that's put it on her heart. I bear witness to the fact that it is the Holy Spirit. So Peggy's going to come up and share with you just a little bit. Peggy's part of our team, our leadership team. So
hi. Well, I just, it was funny because I'm in the back going, oh, no, I don't want to. No. And then I said, if I see Joy, because I usually don't see her, I'm going to say it. There she is. And she's talking, doing something to Sally. She never does that. Okay, so what I wanted to share was, many of you that are in my group and my facilitators know that I have my Uncle Bob. He went to be with the Lord Friday, just passed away on the 6th. But he and I have had a unique relationship. When I moved out here when I was 21, and he was a bachelor and remained a bachelor, was in the war and everything, but we've had a very, very special, close relationship. And probably in the last maybe 10 years, and like Joy would know and the team would know, I would go down to San Marcos every week, and we'd go shopping and we'd do things because, like I say, he never had children, but he was always resistant to the Lord. And I've been praying and praying for him. And he died at 96. So we've had a long history. And 2 years ago, my father passed away at 95. And my husband led him to the Lord just weeks before he passed away. And it happened on a Sunday. I know right where I was sitting. And that DeBeau girl, her father was up, Caitlin, and Bill said something like, "People, you guys are carrying a burden. Someone is carrying a burden here, and we need to pray right now." And it was for my father's salvation. And during that service, I had such peace. Well, I didn't realize it, but my husband was in Montana talking to my father about, yeah, life is tough, but there's a thing. So it was like 2 years ago. But anyway, so I'm with my uncle, and I'm praying, and I would read scriptures, and, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But anyways, he was in a assisted living type place, very happy, very content, had his own, everything was good, content. Extremely content. And a month ago, I was in Montana visiting my 94-year-old mother, and I went on Tuesday, and he fell and broke his shoulder on Wednesday, October 14th. And so they cinched it all up and everything and went back to this place, and he goes, "I'm okay." They helped feed me and stuff. And then a few days later, he fell again and was in the hospital, and they thought he had pneumonia and everything. But what ended up happening is I kept going down there, staying nights and nights, but we prayed, and we had been reading Psalm 23. It was the only thing that he would let me read to him. So we had been reading, and I kept telling him with the dementia a little bit, you know, that's our favorite psalm. That's our favorite psalm. And then it was funny because before I moved him down here, I was reading that, and I said, you know, God takes us, that's talking about forever with the Lord. And he goes, "Isn't it nice that he takes other people with him to heaven?" And I went, "Yeah, it is." And then the next thing he said is, we were talking about something. He goes, "Well, I want to go to heaven." So there was this whole changing of things, and there were other things that happened. It was, I'll just share one other little thing because I don't want to take from the study, but I had decided to put him on hospice, and I moved him closer to me so I could be with him every day into a place. And I just was so concerned that I had done the wrong thing, that I, you know, maybe I should try to get him better and everything. But anyway, I was driving to Long Beach for an appointment, and Aretha Franklin's song says, "Give yourself to Jesus." And it was, and in that song, they read Psalm 23, which was what I equated to my uncle. And it was just like God kind of was telling me, "I think you've made the right decision. This is good." And then Kurt Franklin came on, and it says, "I sing because I'm free." And so I was laying, I was at my appointment, and I had my phone because I didn't know what was going on. And my husband texted me, he goes, "Oh, I forgot to tell you. I walked in to see Bob, and he was singing a psalm right on tune in the morning, and I forgot to tell you." So the point that I wanted to make is that I had been praying for my uncle at 96, and God took him out of that contentment. He would have died in contentment here on earth, but would have suffered the rest of eternity. So God allowed him to fall, break a shoulder. He had to break him and pursue him even at age 96. So what hope this gives me is we have got to continue to pray for our loved ones till their last breath. And that instead of me being, well, why didn't the place, you know, I have a friend who's so mad that they let him fall. And I'm thinking, praise God, he fell. Praise God, because when he was in that hospital with no food and IVs and stuff, God got him. So it was just a thing to me, is just we got to continue to pray for our loved ones, because God does not quit, so we can't either. Thanks, Joyful. Yes. That I prayed with him? Which one was that? See, look at it. Oh, I did pray. Oh, you mean... Well, what I did was we prayed, and we had prayed a couple times. It did, and then, well, I think the thing that he said he wanted to go to heaven, there was three things that like it confirmed to me, and it was yes, I want to go to heaven. The other one is that he was, when they moved him on the Tuesday, it was a long, long, long day, and we had prayed and stuff. But then the Tuesday when I moved him at 9 o'clock at night, he looked at me and one of the orderlies said, well, you know, God only knows. And Bob's laying there going, you know, God only knows, give God glory or something. And so I'm going, whoa, who is that? But last Sunday, I told him we were going to go to church and then I was going to come back and do church with him. And we sat on a Sunday and, you know, we prayed, but, you know, but we sang hymns and we read scriptures and he put his hand together. And we were praying, but we, you know, I went through all the, and then half, some of the old songs, I have John Tesh's music that just doesn't have the words. Well, neither do I. So he and I, a lot of times were just humming, but it was the sweetest thing. And I think with that, did I hear him say, yes, I'm going to, no, but there was a change at 96 in my uncle's life. There was a change in his countenance. There was a change. There was no more like, I don't believe that. Because that's what he'd tell me. I don't know if I believe that. There was this sweetness that God, even in a broken body and a broken mind, there was a sweetness about him that wasn't there before. And he was a real sweet man anyway. So with that, it was just Sunday was the day that I felt confirmed that, you know, like I'm saying there, and he's holding his hands and we're praying. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. And it didn't bother his spirit. It was weird. The man next to us, spirit was bothered. And I was glad. You know, I was glad because we were reading these scriptures and, you know, words would come out. But I also, what I also felt is that we were there for that man next door who was also broken, his next bed over and broken. And it was, and Robert would pray with him and, you know, so we were doing that. So anyway, it was just a thing to say that God is good and he does love us to the very end. And anyway, I was excited. So he's in heaven now with the rest of his family. Woohoo, woo, woo. Thanks, Joy.
Does that speak to anybody particular? Okay, I thought there was somebody in here particularly that there's probably more than one, but that particularly spoke to some of you. So I know God is good. We don't give up. We never give up. And just that there has to be a change. If when we accept the Lord, there is no change in our life, there's no change in our countenance, or whatever, I have to question, did I really commit myself to Christ? And obviously, Bob committed himself to Christ because there was a change in his countenance. He had invested time with the Lord. When Moses came down off the mountain, there was a difference in his countenance. He was so bright that he had to wear a veil over his face when he went before the people. So when we have invested that time with the Lord, there's going to be a change in us. We're going to see differences in us. So how many of you, thank you so much, Peggy, for sharing that. I am so excited. I've been following Uncle Bob all the all the way here. Peggy and I have known each other for a long time, and I'm so thankful to be a part of that. So how many of you went back over your homework and redid it, or at least went over it? Okay, some of you, most of you really, went back over it, and so you might have come up with new stuff. Anybody come up with new stuff when you went back over it? The Lord spoke something new to you? No, okay, well, you must have had it down really good the first time. Okay, so Father, as we just look into your word right now, Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful, Lord, for your presence with us. We are thankful, Lord, that you have, you stand with us. You walk with us, Lord, that you love us, that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of you. And so, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that Bob is in heaven with you. He's beholding your face, Lord, that at 90 something old, he still, you got through to him, Lord. And not only did you get through to him, but you are getting through to this other man that was in the room. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, as we just get into your word now, that we would have hearts that are open, eyes that are open, Lord. Our minds would be set on the things of you, and I just thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. I am excited, Lord, for your provision. I am excited, Lord, for the way that you love. I am excited, Lord, for the way that you lead us as a shepherd, Lord. I am excited to see that you don't leave us in the middle of the storm, but that you come to us and you call us to come to you. And Lord, I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your presence with us right now. Help us to be aware of it and to respond to it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this section of Mark chapter 6, we're starting with verse 30. And this section is also recorded. It's recorded Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them record this particular portion that we're going over. John gives us the most detail on this particular story. So here they are. We covered last week that when the disciples heard of it, they came and they took the body of John the Baptist and they put him into a tomb. You remember that we talked about that. And then they went to Jesus and they told him all of the things that they gathered with Jesus, told him all of the things, both what they had done and what they had taught, both what they had done and what they had taught. Is this talking about, this is what we did with John the Baptist body, this is what was going on with that? Is it also talking about the miracles that were wrought through these disciples that was through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? But all of these things, both what they had done and what they had taught, they were coming out of they're probably at Capernaum, and they told him with great excitement all of the things that they had done. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Come aside by yourselves and rest a while. I want you to note that he is calling them to come away together. This is not talking about quiet time. This is talking about a group of men that are together, that are talking over the things of God. They are not working. They are just enjoying each other's company. They most likely are praying. They are resting in the goodness of the Lord. It's a time for them to come away and be a part of what God has for them in that rest. For there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have the time to eat. So they were very, very busy. Anybody else go through stuff like that? When we do the luncheons, those of us who work on the luncheons, we feel that way for one day on Friday, and maybe on Saturday. I don't usually eat the luncheon, but you get so busy, you don't even have time to eat. But they weren't just busy about their own stuff. They were busy with the people that were coming to them, knowing that they were going to have a touch of Jesus. And so they departed to this deserted place in the boat by themselves, not individually, but all of them in the boat together. I would imagine that this is the only deserted place that they could go to, is out on the boat out on the water. But what happens? But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him, and they ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came to him. There were bunches of people there. There were multitudes of people there. Why were there multitudes of people there? Because they were coming into the Passover festival that was about to start. They were all on their way there. That's why they were all there. And that's why when we get into the miracle that was wrought with the 5,000, that's why it does mention that there were 5,000 men. We always say, and that doesn't count women and children. However, there probably weren't a whole bunch of women and children there because it was only required of the men to come to the Passover festival. So there may have been some there, but not necessarily a whole bunch of them there. So that's where the multitudes were coming from. And they ran ahead of them and met them. And so, and Jesus, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Something inside of him, which is the Spirit of the living God, was moved by compassion. Do you ever look at somebody and you are moved by compassion? This kind of compassion, though, it goes on to say that he was moved by compassion, with compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were there. They were there for the miracles. They were there for the things that were going on, but they didn't have someone to care for them. And what does it say that he did? It says that he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep with not having a shepherd, so he began to teach them. It is the spiritual part that we're looking at here. He loved them so much that he needed to have that spiritual part dealt with. He had compassion with them on that spiritual part of them. And so then when the day was now far spent, which means it was about 3 o'clock, it was only about 3 o'clock, the day was far spent, his disciples start telling Jesus what to do. I love this. Tell you what you're going to do, Jesus. Anybody else that ever do that? Tell you what you need to do here in this situation. Do you ever find yourself praying like that? Okay, God, would you do this and would you do this and do this in their life and change that in their life and do this other thing with them? And, you know, sometimes when you're angry, you say, let God get them. But, you know, you just, but you start telling God what he ought to do. Anybody? Yeah. Anyway, okay. And so his disciples came to him and said, we're in a deserted place. Thank you very much for the information. I was unfamiliar with this area, Jesus might have said to him. However, we are in a deserted place, and already the hour is late. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so here's what you're going to do, Jesus. Tell you what you're going to do. You're going to send them away that they may go into the surrounding countries and villages and buy for themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. So they've come out here, they have nothing to eat, they've been here all day, they've been fasting maybe. And so this is what you're going to do, Jesus. But in verse 37, Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. You sent us out without extra food, you sent us out without extra clothes, you sent us out with extra whatever, and you want us to give them, right? You sent us out without money. And, you know, here it's, and they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? It wouldn't even that wouldn't be enough for all that were there. But he said to them, verse 38, what do you have? What do you have? Give it to me. What do you have? Give it to me. And I think Jesus is asking you ladies this morning, what do you have? Give it to me. Don't just give me your sorrows and your failures, and all those things. But give me all of you. Jesus Christ wants all of us. He wants those things. He wants our failures. He wants our sadness. He wants our joy. He wants all of who we are. He wants who we are to be his. And he calls us to give to him. And so how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then he commanded them. He set them in order. So now he's the one telling them what to do. That's the proper way that it should be. Jesus is telling them, tell you what you're going to do now. You're going to set them in groups of 100 and groups of 50. He takes charge and he gets things organized. Anybody who's ever put together with anything that's more than 6 people, you know you need to organize. You got to get the organization down. I am organizationally challenged, so I work with a lot of other people who are not organizationally challenged, and they make me look really great, and I get all the glory for it, and everybody's, oh, you did a great job. No, they did it. It was all them, and they keep me in line. They keep me, oh, have you thought about this? Are you going to do this? What time should you do that? We need to be on this now. So anyway, so here we go. And so he puts things in order. And he commanded them to make them all sit down in the groups on the green grass. So they're in an area of green grass there, and there's a whole story behind all of that. But we're not going to, this is recorded, as I said, in John chapter 6, 1 through 24 in more detail. So, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he did some things. And when he had taken the loaves and the 2 fish, he did some things. He took the loaves and the fish. He blessed the loaves. He broke the loaves and he gave the loaves. It's important that we see that, those 4 things. He took the bread and the fish. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave the bread. In 42, and they all ate and were filled. I would say filled to overflowing. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish and of the fish. Nothing in your life will go to waste. Nothing in your life will go to waste. It is redeemable. God looks at us and he says, it is redeemable. And so now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000. Okay, so there were about 5,000 there. So how do you explain, and we already talked about the fact of there not being a lot of women and children, but feeding 5,000 with how many loaves? Five loaves. And 2 fish, this is impossible, right?
Right.
Right, okay. So how do you explain a miracle? I can't explain a miracle because a miracle is that. It's unexplainable. But here are some things in what happened there and what I see in the feeding of the 5,000. Yes, God will always provide for our needs. Yes, he will always provide for our needs. Yes, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And yes, Jesus does nothing without purpose. There is nothing that Jesus does without purpose. And I would say to you, the feeding of the 5,000 was so much more than feeding the people physically. It was a shadow of something that was to come. Notice what he does with the loaves. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. Do you remember those words from anything else? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. He took the bread. God will always provide. There is nothing impossible to God, and there is nothing that God does without purpose. And so over in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. He said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You see that this whole thing of feeding the 5,000 was all about the bread. It was all about the bread. John 6:48, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." And here he's explaining to them, although they don't understand it at this place, and we see later that they didn't quite get it. They didn't quite understand it. "I am the bread of life." So he took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. It was speaking of what his life was, of who he is. And they were unable to see it. They were unable to grasp it at this particular time. And so then in 45, immediately he made his disciples, I love this, he made his disciples go. You like the way that it's worded there? He made them go and get into the boat and go before him to the other side. I would say to you, there was a plan in this. He put them on the boat and said, "Get out of here. Get on the boat and get out of there. Go over to Bethsaida," which was on the other side. And Jesus sent away the multitudes all by himself. He sent them away. That's a kind of interesting thing to me. These were people who wanted to make him king, but he knew that's not the reason he had come. And he needed to be able to send them away and take care of the things that were necessary. And when he had sent them away, verse 46, he departed to the mountain for the purpose of praying. And I would say to you, as you go through the rest of this chapter, you will notice that when he went up to pray, he positioned himself in a place to speak to the Father so that he could always keep his eye on the boat, on the water. God always has his eye on you. You know, we look around today and whenever you watch the news, we're looking for cameras that were in the area. Do you realize how many times we're on the cameras? How many times we are seen during the day? Well, you know what? Jesus sees us all the time. He sees us with our makeup off. He sees us with our hair. He sees us every moment, and he looks at the heart. He's not looking at the outer person. He's looking at the heart. Where's my heart? Is my heart in Christ? And he departed to the mountain to pray. And now when the evening had come, now they're in the middle of the sea, and now it's about sunset. They're in the middle of the sea. And he's in a place where he can clearly see them. Now, when evening came, about sunset, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. So, boat out in the middle of the sea, the lake, which is approximately 7 miles across. Then he saw them straining at rowing. We're talking about, this was only about sunset, that he saw them straining, and they were at the middle of the sea, 3.5 miles in, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch, now we get to the middle of the night. They are still in the middle of the sea. It is 3 o'clock in the morning. And he has been watching them strain against the wind. Do you ever feel when you're in the midst of something that you're just like, where's God? Why doesn't he deliver me from this? Why doesn't he help me out in this? Where is he? He's watching. He's watching. He's watching you for the appropriate time that he will come to you. And it says, now about for the fourth watch of the night. Remember, he was on the land. They were in the middle of the sea. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And it says, and he would have passed them by. And that phrase bothers me. And he would have passed them by. So I looked up and I looked up and I looked up and I read and he would have passed them by. It goes with, let me see if I wrote down the scripture, Luke 24:28. It says that I would have gone, but you compelled me to stay. And that's what this is. I would have gone on, but what happened at the boat? We'll see what happened at the boat. So it wasn't that he was going to go and he was just going, la, 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 you guys go ahead, but I'm going to walk on the water because I don't need the boat and all of that. But what happens? He's walking there on the water, and I love, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, wouldn't you? You left him on the land, right? You're not expecting to see Jesus or anybody else walking on the water in the middle of the sea. It is deep there. You know, he wasn't walking on stones. He wasn't walking on higher places. No, he was walking on the water. And it says that they cried out, and the translation of this is, in my own words, is, they started screaming like girls. What is this? Oh my gosh! What's going on here? It's a ghost! Oh no! Oh. Oh my. Okay. And so, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them. He said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Three words in there. It is I. He recognized, this is Jesus. Later on, Mary would hear Jesus speaking to her in the garden. And she would just hear that voice that said, Mary. In a way that she recognized, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. It is I. I am. I am that I am. Let's see what happened with the rest of this story. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 28. There was something that Peter did in this story. So 14, 28. And Peter answered, and so be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Verse 27 of chapter 14 of Matthew. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, okay, if it is you, command me, tell me to come to you on the water. And so he said, Jesus said, come. And I would say to us today, Jesus is telling us to come. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. This must have been a sight. I would say all the other guys are watching. Remember that it said that they all saw Jesus? What do you think they were doing? Were they still screaming like girls? I don't know. I think they were like, can he do that? I've never seen that before. Is there a mountain? Are there rocks out there? Well, no, no, the boat would have hit him. They're trying to figure it out. And so he walked on the water to get to Jesus. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus? He did everything that it took. He died on a cross for you and said, I simply want you to receive me as your Savior. But when he saw that the wind, this is talking of Peter, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me! Have you been in a place where you're in the midst of a storm and you're doing really good and you're walking through that storm and then all of a sudden your eyes get off of Jesus and you realize this storm's bringing me down? And what do you say? Jesus, save me! Save me! And he answers. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't see him saying, oh, you of little faith, oh, gosh, I had to roll up my sleeve, everything to pull you out of the water. Come on, you of little faith. The little faith has to do with the fact that my eyes got off of Jesus and onto my problem, got onto my storm instead of on Jesus. That's what happened here. Why did you doubt? The doubting was in my ability. I'm speaking as Peter. The doubting was in my ability to walk on the water. I have no ability to walk on the water. So that's where my faith was waning. My trust was not in the Lord. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Complete stop. Then those who were in the boat came and did what? And worshiped him, saying, truly, you are God. Truly, truly, go back to Mark. Truly, you are the living God. And so in verse 51 of chapter 6 of Mark, then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. They were excited, for they had not understood about the loaves. What does that mean? Well, they had not understood about the loaves. What they didn't understand is that Jesus really is God. He is the bread of life. That's what it was all about. That's what they didn't get with the loaves. The fish, you know I'm leaving off the fish. There were only a couple of them. They probably, you know, they weren't important to the story. They were an extra added protein that the people got. The important part was the bread of life. And so they didn't understand about the loaves because their heart was hardened. It's not that they had developed this thing against Christ. It was simply that they had doubted, that they had begun to, this is my opinion. This is totally my opinion. I think they got so involved in what they were doing that they forgot what they were doing it for. That's my own opinion. It's just my opinion, not gospel. It is my opinion. But I think that's what happened. They weren't like the hardened heart that just can't be broken. It had begun to dry up because they hadn't rested. They hadn't rested in the Lord, and they hadn't rested physically. But aren't you glad that in the midst of all of this, that they didn't fully rest? They didn't take a vacation, so to speak. Because what happened? Verse 53, and when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately people recognized him. His own disciples did not recognize him on the water, but these people recognized him right away because they were waiting for him. And they ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. They went to Jesus. They went to Jesus. They found out where he was. They went to Jesus. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him, which they didn't need to do, beg him, that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Will you touch Jesus? Remember what we talked about when the woman was healed. by simply touching the hem of his garment. Remember that we talked about the fact that he reached out to her and he touched her. He reached out to the demoniac and he touched him. It is the touch of Jesus in our life. It is the touch of Jesus in our life that makes the difference. And he says, just trust me. Trust me. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life, whatever you're thinking about right now and you're wondering, I don't know if that's ever going to change. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. When Uncle Bob was just doing all well, everything was fine, content, everything everywhere was great, he didn't recognize his need for Jesus, his need for a Savior. It was the storm that came in his life when he fell and broke something that got his attention to recognize, I want what you're talking about. I am so thankful for the ministry that Peggy has had in our life, and I don't want to be building. Yes, I do. I want to build up Peggy. She is one of the, if you need prayer, Peggy is the one to pray for you. She is the first one to come up with a scripture verse for you. When she says she's going to pray for you, she prays for you. You can, it's guaranteed. You don't have to wonder if she's really going to do it. She has been diligent. I watched her as she put aside other things that she wanted to do so that she could take care of her uncle. When she didn't go places with the gals or didn't get to go and do this or be in that place, she was there for him. Why? Because he needed Jesus. That's why she was there. So I am so thankful for Peggy. I'm so blessed by her. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father. May we all be in a place where we put the needs of others more important than our own. Father, that our eyes would be firmly set on you. That when you say, come to me, we come. And we don't look at anything else, we just come to you. Lord, help us in those areas when we're doubting and we're wondering, how is this all going to come together? Oh, Jesus, would you just minister to us in those places, Lord, where we're weak and we need your strength. Lord, we need to recognize that you are the bread. You are life. You are our eternal life. We come to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we confess that we have a need of a Savior. And we ask you, Lord, if we've never asked you before, we ask you right now, would you come and live in my heart? Would you forgive me of my sin? And would you help me, Lord, to walk in a way that brings glory to your name? And Father, when we pray that, our countenance changes. I thank you, Father, for these precious, precious ladies. I pray that you would bless them beyond measure, Lord. Bless them more than they feel like they can even contain it, Lord. That they would share with others your love and your grace and your peace and your joy. We thank you, Lord. Help us in our country, Lord, to follow after you, to bring you glory, to show a world that needs you terribly what it is to walk with you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.